It's time to get locked in, ladies and gentlemen.
Because you are now tuned in to the Screaming Idiots Show. Welcome to the Metal Brotherhood. No discipline!
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Screaming Idiots Show. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and thank you for your patience as we've been a little busy here trying to get back in studio, get one recorded. I know that we've promised you a guest episode. I probably should walk that back a bit and apologize for promoting that a little premature. Still hoping to get said guest on. It's busy, man. It's spring. It's my busy season working in agriculture, and everybody's graduating, and including my brother, who I want to make sure that I give a special shout out to. I'm repping you today, bro. My little brother graduated and going to Purdue. So boiler up and hammer down, little bro. Love you.
Shout out to you, Connor. Sorry, I'm yawning.
It is the end of May here. It is the Friday before Memorial Day when we are recording this. We'll drop this episode on Wednesday of next week. But as we sit here coming up on what is my personal favorite weekend of the whole year, I love Memorial Day. I view it as the official start of summer. And it's just an awesome, awesome weekend. There's always cookouts and parades and graduation parties and all kinds of cool shit going on. So looking forward to it, but I would be remiss if we didn't touch on the whole reason for the weekend, and that is Memorial Day. And the reason that we are able to sit here in this studio on this couch and talk into these microphones is because of the men and women who have fought and died for our country. And, you know, coming from a family of veterans who served and luckily, you know, made it home. It means a lot. And sitting on the couch with a veteran, you know, it means a lot as well. And obviously Memorial Day specifically to those who fell in battle and remembering them. But just very appreciative for each and every one of you out there in the military that serves our country and provides the very blanket of freedom that we get to reside under. So just wanted to touch on that. So if you guys have anything to add to that before we... No? Cool. Also, end of May here, and this is going to lead into one of our first big topics of discussion in the music industry is it is the end of May, but May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and that is a topic in which we have discussed a lot on this show over the past year or so, and it's important to shine a light on that as well, because we all know that as we have discussed our personal struggles, there are people out there that are struggling and are struggling alone, and just know that you don't need to, and reach out to somebody, a family member, a friend, an employee, you know, a coworker, a boss, or, you know, there's always hotlines that you can call as well if you really feel like you have no one. So you're not in this fight alone. And as someone who's gone through, you know, some mental health things in life, I definitely feel for each and every one of you out there that is going through something currently. So and that kind of brings us into our first topic, and this was announced today that Bad Omens has canceled the European leg of their tour, basically their remaining schedule, because frontman Noah Sebastian in particular according to the statement, is really struggling with, you know, exhaustion and having some mental health issues at this time. And of course, we want to wish him the best and take as much time off as you need to get your shit right, man. I'm glad that we live in a society now where it is much more acceptable to admit, hey, I need to take a break. I need to step away. And, obviously, this is one of the biggest bands in the world right now that has just blown up, and what to them I'm sure feels like overnight, because it really has just been a year, you know, a year and a half maybe that they've blown up. And yeah, man, they've been touring like crazy. I mean, all over the fucking world, like for the past, like I said, year and a half, mm-hmm. going nuts. That has to be incredibly, incredibly taxing. So it brings up this whole idea that we've touched on before about these bands and the expectations of them when it comes to touring and recording and travel and being gone from family and loved ones and friends and things like that, and the fucking toll that that can take on their mental health. And I think this being one of the, like I said, the biggest bands on the planet's frontman coming out and saying, yo, I ain't right right now. I got to get right. And, you know, canceling a tour. So I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on that.
I mean, a lot of people seem to think that when you get that record deal and you get that first album out, like things are just easy after that. And that's just not the case in the music industry. Once you quote unquote make it, you haven't really made it to the destination. You're still on a journey, and record labels expect you to basically give up your life and say, hey, I'm going to live on the road 360 days out of the year. I'm like on the road, touring, I'm doing interviews, I'm doing meet and greets, I'm doing this and that, appearances here, appearances there, surprise show that can fit into the bill. I thought I was going to have a couple days off. Psych.
Right.
You know, and just the level of exhaustion that a person would, you know, likely reach when it's just nonstop. And then the thought that would likely tax me is the, you know, hey, it was supposed to be easy.
Yeah, I made it. This is supposed to be the easy part, right? We already grinded our asses off. Yeah. And it's quite the opposite.
Yeah, this isn't supposed to feel like work. And I mean, I'm starting to hate it.
Right.
Dude, this deep into it, this shit, well, I guess the blur phase has already passed. Like, I'm sure at some point it felt like a blur, and then shortly past that point is like, all right, now this shit is, what the hell's going on? We're, say it is a year and a half into this. I can't imagine, one, the physical toll that it takes on you, being on the road, probably not sleeping very well.
If at all.
Yeah.
Right. And if you are, you're sleeping on a fucking bus.
Yeah. And I don't want to pretend to know, but I'm just guessing. But the physical toll, but then the mental toll has to be that much worse with, because of course your mental is going to suffer when lack of sleep, lack of whatever it is. I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I feel like we'll probably start to see more of this.
Yeah, I mean, if bands get to that point that they're blowing up like a Bad Omens or like a Sleep Token or whoever.
Yeah. And you know, you've got the social media part of it too, where, you know, they can't be on social media. They're just getting bombarded by, matter of fact, I'm pretty sure Bad Omens deleted like all of their social media like a month or two ago. And you've got people finding out where they live and shit like that. Like, that's just, that ain't what they signed up for, man. Like,
I watching Stained this past weekend, and seeing Aaron Lewis up there, and I was like, you know, that guy probably isn't that much of an asshole. You know, now that I think about it, he's an asshole to fans because at times people fucking overstep.
Yeah.
And not that I'm at all fucking famous at all, but I have seen how you'll get that like drunk dude in the bar towards the end of the night that really loved your set, man. And then just corners you.
Yeah.
And then they're like
a vulture, bro.
Ooh, yeah. You know, they come in swooping in and they're like, man, I said it was great. Man, once upon a time I played. And
you're like, I just want you to stop saying, like,
dude, I'm trying
shit.
To.
Like, just thank you.
I'm just trying
He's
to.
He's over there.
Unload,
you ever think
man.
The wind is trying to tell us something and we don't know how to hear it anymore?
What's that, that off of? Me.
Oh, that's the Yvonne.
Oh.
It's a TikTok trend. It fucking cracks me up. The other one's a Woody Harrelson line. You don't even know who Woody Harrelson is.
Oh, Woody, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, for you mentioning, like, people finding out where they live and stuff like that, it's like some fans just don't know where the line is.
Mm-hmm.
And they just cross it.
They're a habitual line stepper.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even if it's like, I'm sure there's plenty of fans that are overstepping that line, but just the mass amount of whatever, I don't know, man.
Yeah, because like I try not to fangirl out with these artists because I know how kind of weird it can be. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't even experience it nearly at a level that, like, you know, Bad Omens would be,
mm-hmm.
having millions of fans. I have like
ten of fans.
seven and a half.
We'll round up. It's 10.
The half is Preston's daughter.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude. But yeah, just all the shit that you would go through on the road, and it makes you wonder, like, how the fuck did they do it in the 80s and the 90s and 70s?
Shit ton of drugs.
And that's exactly where you wind up. And it's like, the no one does it forever in a healthy way.
No. No.
No one tours like that nonstop, always writing, always recording, always playing somewhere, performing somewhere, being somewhere. Bro,
Metallica did it with alcohol. Motley Crue did it with drugs. Elton John did it with penis.
Penis.
Everybody has that thing that they use.
They got that thing, man.
To get them up. Back. To get them up. Hey, you know. But it's nowadays, thankfully, I don't know that like hardcore fucking drugs are as prevalent in the metal music scene. I'm not talking weed. I'm talking fucking cocaine and heroin and meth. And
I think there's enough like awareness about it, and people like, are like,
man, bad shit. Okay.
when you go like 20 years where almost every one of your favorite, you know, artists die because of drugs.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
in one way or another, yeah. Maybe I should probably not put this white powdery substance up my nose.
Yeah, maybe I should listen to that weird looking lion.
I watched The Dirt and Ozzy Osbourne snorted a line of ants, okay? I can do anything.
Fire ants?
I don't remember.
That'd have been cool as shit.
If you've never seen The Dirt, that's a great movie. Up.
Is that the one that MGK did about?
Yeah, he plays Tommy Lee.
Okay, yep. Yeah,
it's awesome.
Okay,
imagine it's being awesome. That fucked up. You just
and it's not all sunshine and roses. It's all the dark shit too.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's, yeah. It's,
oh yeah.
As a matter of fact, there's probably way more dark shit than there is good shit. Like the first half an hour of the movie's like, oh yeah, this is great. Motley Crue blowing up, and then it's
and
like,
then it's
oh,
immediate nose.
Well,
dive.
I would assume.
Oh, Vince Neil killed a guy. Oh, Nikki Sixx died. Oh, it's
I don't know shit about Disney.
Yeah,
I would assume, you know, depending on your tenure, but like that lifestyle, the negatives outweigh the positives.
I think so too.
Especially back then.
And that's why I feel like we should always be grateful to our favorite bands, because the amount of work that goes into putting that piece of music together is insane. Even if somebody like me can't stand it, it's, you know, it's still something that they work their fucking ass off on most of the time. You can tell when shit's half-assed, but
especially since for the type of music we listen to, it's so much harder for them to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they have to do so much more to make money than, you know, say the most popular
pop star
country artist or
rapper
or anything like that. Like,
I don't know that they make any money either.
I guess it depends on what level you'd be at, but
yeah,
I don't know. The shit these kids listen to nowadays, it's fucking horrible, dude. It is absolutely
crazy,
and that's very judgmental of me, but I've tried to get into it and I can't, man.
Nolan found some artist that I guess he's kind of rock. He's kind of like that 21 Pilots kind of rock. Okay. So rock for kids nowadays.
All the small things. Sorry, go ahead. That's not 21 Pilots, but
it's a jam.
That's way before 21 Pilots.
way before them, but yeah.
But there's a little bit of like screams and stuff in this.
Okay.
And I was like, Nolan, are you listening to some screamo?
It's becoming more popular.
And he was like, what's screamo? And I was like, where he does the screaming stuff. And he's like, oh, yeah, I like that. And I was like,
let's go.
I know a lot of that.
He's like, I know a lot about that.
I was like, I could show you some stuff. And he was like, would you? I was like,
yeah, bro.
Boy, your whole fucking world's about to change.
And then it took me right back to that conversation we had where we just blasted off entry-level bands.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We went on for 45 minutes on that.
I, like, had a brain overload trying to figure out which one do I type
this
in?
This is my son. Do I show?
This is an important moment in time. If I fuck this up, he might never like metal. This is so important. Which one do I go to?
You can't. It's just like when you're trying to talk your old lady into letting you put it in her butt. You can't just go straight for the butt. Okay, you got to ease in there. All right, because if you go straight for hey, spread them,
give me some ass,
it's not gonna work.
I don't know that I love this analogy.
I didn't
figure
you would,
to
and
my child,
that's why I used
oh fuck, I didn't even put two and two together.
That's why I used it.
Oh,
to raise, it was getting a little too comfortable in here.
I'm on edge now.
Children's music, butt sex.
Slap them together.
No. Don't go that far. Just keep them over here, but just on the same. They're in opposite end zones, all right? I don't want to meet in midfield.
I promise I'm a decent father.
He didn't even say good. He just said decent.
You know, hey, a man has to know his limitations, all right? A man has to know his limitations. But
if I talk myself up too much, then people start wondering.
I'm a great father. Stare into the camera. What? No, that's cool that he's getting into some shit, bro.
Well, I'm serious, dude. It's more popular.
I did well. I showed him the most recent A Word Alive album, and he was like, oh, I like this.
I like that.
And it was funny because it was one of those Nolan moments because, look, it was probably 20 seconds deep into the song, the first song, and he's like, ooh, I like this.
He heard three guitar chords.
And I was
and
like,
fuck yeah. Man.
I wasn't going to argue with him, but I was like, Nolan, the song hasn't even really started. It's intro noises.
At least
like,
the weather's
he's
nice.
Like, yeah. I don't get that
inside
reference.
Joke.
I don't get that reference. He looked at me and Preston one night and he said, I must have that blood you get from your dad that mosquitoes like because they bite me all the time. Then he's like, I hope I didn't get that blood from my dad though that makes me go bald.
That's a little, I felt a little personal.
Fuck, I lost my train of thought.
As I sit here currently going bald.
Oh, yeah. I was like, son, what the
Oh.
That's not how that works.
They were on the way down to Myrtle Beach when we all went on vacation a couple years ago to Myrtle Beach. And I remember Tyler telling me that Nolan was in the back and said, Dad, I think Myrtle Beach is my favorite beach. And he said, son, you ain't even been to the beach yet. And the next thing out of his mouth was, well, at least the weather's nice.
Bro, it's so cliche, but kids say the darndest fucking things.
Oh, it's hilarious.
They say
bro.
The funniest
shit. They are
shit.
Amazing, though.
That's fucking hilarious. That's something I would fucking say as a kid.
Fucking have 40 of them. They're a blast. And I only have one.
I don't know. Cheyenne's going to have to beat me over the head to get me that second
know,
one.
Bro. We're at a rough stage right now.
She's going to have to
grab everything.
Bro, sounds like mine's rape. Just a fucking dick.
Yeah.
He's just a dick. Straight up. And then at nighttime, he's all, oh, dad, love you. And I'm like, you little fuck. Yeah. But no, you were a punk all day, dude. You don't get to walk that back. Like, you ruined the whole day.
You got some mansplaining to do.
Like, bro, he does, man. He'll be a little terror all day long, and then at nighttime he'll just hug you, and and manipulative. Love you, Dada. I'm like, mm-hmm.
Most toxic relationship.
15 minutes ago, I wanted to yeet your ass out a window.
Yeet.
Yeah, but it still melts you.
Oh, dude, I fucking cried last night. Sometimes it's just.
You little fucking asshole. Speaking of mental health, all y'all, our mentals are in a wonderful place right now.
They are. I'm getting married.
Oh, shit.
I don't know about that. Yeah,
you done fucked up.
I did. Fucked up.
I'm married. I'm all right.
It's fine.
Oh, I'm looking fine.
We're doing okay.
It'll literally be no different than it is now, except she signs checks with a different name. That's pretty much what it boils down to. I don't think you always hear that. Oh, marriage changed your life, and I'm like, how?
Changed my fucking life.
Well, you let him hit it raw. You didn't have second thoughts. Now you a single mom.
I felt the beat in the tempo right off the rip.
He said, change my life. Oh, fuck. Listen, 50% of marriages end in a divorce, you know? So Tyler was one of them.
I just, you know, I had to be part of that side, that group, the dark side.
You had to join. You were such a statistic. A
fucking hellacious leader.
Outstanding leader. Massive penis.
Huge.
The
size of this couch.
So, yeah, moving on from that, because, you know, we went here. This was the path. In normal Screaming Idiot Show fashion, we went.
We just went back.
We're coming full circle.
Ain't nothing wrong with my back.
We was talking, you know, a little mental health, and you know,
throw that ass in a circle.
God damn, what's up, y'all?
Oh,
how we doing?
It's been a minute. We got a
Friday night.
We got to get all the random shit out. It's just gotta come out, okay? It's like there's so much built up tension.
We haven't recorded an episode in weeks.
Oh,
it's been about a month and a half, I think.
It's been a fucking minute, dude. Yeah. It's been a minute. So we got, well, because we were kind of like, oh, we're gonna do a guest, and then plans change, and then we get busy, and then we don't do one, mm-hmm. and then it's yeah. But here we are. We're here. We're queer, getting, whoa. You know, next month is Pride Month, so.
All on your own, man. But you know, I'll support you, like,
the
morally.
Marriage is a cover. I mean, I had a gay experience at camp. No, I didn't. So, I want to move on.
I don't know. Never mind.
What?
For whatever reason, just made me think of Rodney Carrington, stand-up while back.
Which one?
Was like comparing like trying dick to
ketchup. Yeah, Rodney, I think you ought to try it. Like, I don't think that's something you try. You don't try a dick. You try ice cream. At least if I try a flavor of ice cream and I don't like it, I never have to eat that ice cream again. I'm pretty sure if I tried dick, that would affect me for the rest of my life. Ronnie, you should have put ketchup on it.
That's what it was.
That is an elite stand-up. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Ronnie Carrington's a funny motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
Don't look now. Your mama's got her boobs out showing everybody in town. Faces turning red, we were wishing we were dead. There were people standing all around. Mama gets to drinking, there ain't much thinking. There's nothing anybody can do. It's just a hope and pray. There never comes a day when my mama's out drinking with you.
I was thinking of like another sound to put into it. I fucking moaned into the microphone.
Hell yeah. Give me that shit.
You moaned into the fucking thrusting into this battle. Who?
Miss Johnson, my wife won't give me pussy. Can I have some of yours? It's just easier to run in the closet, do it myself, and then go mow. Oh, fuck. It has been a minute since we recorded. Oh, God.
That was fantastic.
That was outstanding. That was, yeah. That was a great rendition of Don't Look Now, Your Mama's Got Her Boobs Out.
Yes.
Yeah. So on a serious note, you wanted to discuss the new Moz record for a minute.
Yeah. And I understand that we talk about Moz often on the show. But it's a pretty anticipated release on my end, and I think your guys' as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Album name, The Cycles of Trying to Cope, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds right.
One thing that I noticed, and I know Kyler noticed right off the rip, once the album had dropped, maybe not as much during the four singles that they dropped, even though they're all awesome.
Too many.
Yeah, they, yes, Mozzie fucked up once again. I know we told you that, but Chris, get your shit together. I don't care if you want me to fucking bounce or not. Quit it. Is Chris, I'm pretty sure that Chris sounds the best he's ever sounded on this
record.
And
it's so ironic because we had talked about,
yes,
like,
yeah,
oh, is, man, is he struggling a little bit? And no, quite the contrary. I mean,
anything you wanted from him, the nasty death metal-ish screams, mm-hmm, the high searing clean part. I mean, all mm-hmm of it, bro.
Yeah,
all of it.
He's my hero.
Oh, I mean, it's his range is, he's like death metal Chris Motionless. With the range.
He doesn't even have to like come hunt me down if he ever wants me to jump.
Well, it's like we've talked about this before, mm-hmm, but like to me, and maybe a part of it could be because I've seen him live twice. You guys have seen him once, maybe mm-hmm two times.
I've seen
for you
him twice.
Okay, I've just seen him once. Yep.
Is
no bassist.
We've talked about when you're the front man of a band, I believe, and I think you guys do too, there needs to be, and I hate to use this word, but there needs to be some form of swagger or identity or something. One, like your look, I get, not that that's the most important thing.
Yeah, not necessarily.
But
in
your
that
mannerisms,
genre,
the way you act, but especially as your voice being your instrument, you can hear like he's confident. He can do it all. He's not afraid to step out of his
comfort
zone. It's
a great stage presence.
Yes, great stuff. I mean, all of it. And presence. I think Moz, we'll get into that, but him, he fucking absolutely raped this record.
Yeah, he crushed it. And super, super impressed with how he sounded on this record. And I, even though we had talked about maybe he's struggling a little bit, I still wasn't really surprised because you could just hear his progression through the records, right? As you listen through their discography, you could hear the progression of him getting better and better and better and better. So it wasn't all that big of a surprise to hear him absolutely fucking crush it. But still, it's just like, oh, there it is.
Yep.
That is what I expected
mm-hmm
to hear on this next record. It was weird. Tyler?
I don't have a whole lot to add. I mean, you guys pretty well put it out there. It was, I think you had mentioned it, Kyler, that like some of the writing style seems to be bringing back some of that like Dark Divine kind
mm-hmm
of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Kintsugi and
but we have
Garden, or not that one,
the updated, you yep know,
production mix and
to back it up.
Yep.
And it's like, ooh, baby.
Yeah.
And that's what was, because we've talked about the progression, not production wise, but of the band's sound and style, mm-hmm, you know, EP to album to, or to EP or whatever. And to me, this album, it feels like they have the Dark Divine in it. They have those old, like catchy, which all their choruses are typically catchy, but those older Moz type choruses.
Mm-hmm.
Instrumentation, like you have that No Eternity in your face production that we once experienced and first experienced for them, to me at least.
Mm-hmm.
You have the pure like porcelain style where it went a little death metal-ish, I guess. I don't know. Just different than their typical metal
love
core.
Death metal.
And then you had the use of the, I think it's called a phase shifter that they did on like Protestation Paradox and the other single that they had dropped. You have a little bit of mix of that throughout this album. I just feel like on this record, musically, all of their styles that they have done over the years came into one record.
Yeah.
I feel like I heard every single album.
It was very complete. It kind of felt like the record where they finally put it all together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it felt like Dark Divine was missing good production and mix. No Eternity in Gold was missing a lot of those beautiful melodic choruses and just the range of songs. Still a fantastic.
And there's a few albums in between those, but
yeah. But those are the two prominent ones, you know, that most people think about. Yeah. And then it just felt like this one, they just meshed it all up.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. It's perfect. It's not a bad song on the record.
I love it, man.
It's probably my favorite Moths record.
It wasn't mine at first. Like I felt, I did. Sorry if you were about to.
He had to listen to it 10 times.
Yeah, I did have to do that kind of thing. But when the first time I listened through the album, and it could be because they released four of the, is it 12 tracks? I think it's 12. There were some riffs that stuck out to me, but there wasn't that like one song that I was like, holy shit, compared to like an Inhale the Grief off of the Boundaries record. When I heard that, it was like, yep, that's automatically my favorite song on the record. The first time I ran through the record when it dropped.
Having a religious
I had to take a second. That riff immediately in my head.
Oh, yeah.
Did you come?
Oh.
What the fuck?
That's what I was doing.
I'm gonna come.
Is that what you sound like, bro? Oh,
sometimes.
Sound like the fucking Forrest Gump's principal.
Yo, mama, sure cares an awful lot about your schooling.
But yeah, the
is
first
that
time,
Mr. Gump, Mrs. Gump. All I have is movie references.
We love it.
Yeah, just the first listen through the record, I didn't have that one song that was like, yep, that's the one. But as I've continued to listen, I've realized that it's because every fucking song I really enjoy, and yep. I can't pick a favorite.
Yeah, is it a 10 out of 10 record? Probably a solid 9.
I would say 9 for me.
Probably a solid 9.
Maybe missing, and I just said it's probably due to how good the songs are, but to me, a part of me
that standalone,
that one fucking track,
yeah. Inhale the Grief,
something like that. That's a good example.
Yeah, Pray for Rain
or Descent. That's the one that got me.
Yeah, there's seems like those 10 out of 10 records have, because I would consider The Death of Me a 10 out of 10 record.
Yeah,
I would consider the New Boundaries record a 10 out of 10 record. So, and they all have that song that just.
And it's different for everybody.
Yeah, it is. Typically. Yeah, and there could be people, you know, watching or listening right now going, that's absolutely a 10 out of 10 record, and that's perfectly fine. But I think that Moths, for me at least, still falls a peg short from Polaris Boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what it is. It's nothing in particular. I think it's just a stylistic thing.
Yeah.
But for them, it's a absolute banger of a record.
And it I think in something that's important to an album is the flow of the songs. I feel like when we hear a 10 out of 10 album,
dude, Boundaries,
part of it is due
anybody
to the flow.
I'm telling you, Boundaries doesn't,
like,
matter
from song one, how does it flow into song two? How does song two go into three? Where's that like little break song that,
dude,
slows it down?
And they did a lot of it on this record too, but if you go back and listen to what was that,
Bearing Brightness?
No, the one before that.
Or you're talking Moths, okay.
No, I'm talking Boundaries. The one...
the Red and Black?
Your Receding Warmth.
Oh.
That one, yes, Red and Black. Bro, if you don't look at your phone or your car or whatever, you hardly even know when the song is changing. Because it's just one right into another, into another, into another. It's like from song one to song however many, it's just one long song. It's incredible. And that's cool. It's because it makes it feel like an experience, like you said.
Yeah, it's what it should be. Especially with this technical kind of shit that we listen to. Yeah. I do believe, as a listener, it should be a journey and an experience, and I do feel the flow of track to track on this album is really good.
So, we haven't done this in a long, long time, and I know that people probably miss us doing it, and I'm going to do one right now, and that's a heavy metal hot take. Looking back, a year removed from it, that Currents record is not that good.
I'm going to be the arrogant guy and say, I told you so.
I know. It is not that good.
Who the fuck's talked about it in the last 8 months?
It was a flash in the pan.
And it's good.
It's good.
That's it.
But that's it. Yeah. It's average. Hmm. It's average. And when it flashed in the pan, it hooked me. Like, I was all about it. But then other shit started coming out, and I'm like,
I don't think it's that.
It feels lazy.
Ooh.
Because there's a couple songs.
See their bassist quads, man? They're just not lazy.
He ain't lazy.
No, he's not. Yeah. There's a couple songs that are like absolute masterpieces. And then there's some that just feel like filler songs.
So that's what I mean. Yes.
Maybe lazy is not the right term.
It's like similar style the whole way through. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of one fucking song.
It's
kind of half-assed to me. But maybe that's just the style they want to be in. They want to live in that realm, and that's fine. They're still good songs. But like, go listen to that record and then go listen to, you know, anything off of Fatalism or Invent's album or Boundary stuff, any of the stuff that's come out since then or from that time, it falls to the bottom of the barrel pretty quickly. Spirit Box
kicked the shit out of that album.
Yeah, Spirit Box EP. Fatalism was way better than that. The Boundaries album's way better. This Moths album's way better. You know what I mean?
And I think it could be. I'm very curious to hear what you have to say. And I think it could be our slight changes of taste in metal music lately. Boundaries has changed our taste quite a bit. Or at least me.
I think and that's Booth a big, and, big piece of it. A year ago, we, like, especially you and I, were really, really in love with that Currents album.
Correct.
But some of the stuff that's come out since then is just some masterful shit. We've been spoiled.
Yeah,
for the last year and a half with some music.
Fuck yeah, and
for you guys to have kind of changed your styles a little more into that, and I was close to there already with things like Johnny Booth and Norma Jean and stuff like that, but that kind of stuff being something that you guys started to enjoy more, and for something like Boundaries to come out.
Mm-hmm.
After Boundaries come out with that album, dude, it's like...
it's like it didn't exist. Competes?
It's tough, man. I mean...
even the Moths album, I'm like, I really love this Moths album.
It's like
album.
The X you can't get over. You just keep going back. And that's what Boundaries is. Like, you're trying to listen to the newer stuff, and you just like...
yeah, but for me, I feel like that.
Let me lay where I fall. Boom, boom, bang.
Oh, God. That just got chills.
Yeah.
I am.
Yes, that part's fucking amazing.
Where the fuck are you?
Oh, God.
I think that the thing that makes it palatable to me is there's like a difference stylistically from a Boundaries to this Moths record.
Oh yeah.
To where it's like I'm not just going right back to the Boundaries record. I'm switching back and forth, different. You know. They're different enough for us to not compare the two.
Right.
Yeah, they're different.
I will say, you know, interesting hot take. We haven't done one in a while. I have to tend to agree with you now that you've kind of laid it out there, and now I'm having a bit of a moment as I realize.
A moment of reflection.
Yeah. But as far as the Moths album, for me, this is why, like, Moths to Flames is my favorite metalcore band out there, because their ability to write songs is just
so good.
Incredible. And honestly, if you listen to some of their earlier albums, like before The Dark Divine, they've been heavy as fuck for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Mm. They've never not been heavy.
The Dark Divine album was just weird. If it had the better production, I think it would have fit in with their discography. But for whatever reason, it just breaks shit
it's
just up.
It's kind of flat.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of foggy.
Yeah.
But for them to kind of bring together some of their angst from before Dark Divine, some of the melodic kind of choruses and stuff that they were able to do in a few songs from like the Dark Divine kind of shit, but with some of the song structure from that as well, and then just the pure fucking filth. Oof. From their more recent shit and how they started to get kind of more deathcore kind of shit that shone through with this album as well. So like you guys said, just bringing all these different styles they fucked with and bringing it all into one, and they did so well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's awesome, dude.
It's a great one.
And it's not getting old to me. Are we 2 weeks in? Yeah, two mm-hmm. weeks. 2 weeks in.
It is top five in the gym for me.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking gnarly. Shout out to you guys. Zach, I think, was the guitarist name. Chris, I apologize. I don't know drummer. And I'm not sure if they have a bassist right now. They didn't know. When you guys were at that show.
Well, I mean, they just got done. They had a studio bassist.
Yeah, they would have. Yeah. So shout out to you, buddy.
Well, unless one of their guitarists is
hell
playing.
Hell yeah, Billy.
Yeah, that works a lot of different ways. Other new music. This is just a personal one. These guys probably don't care too much. But As I Lay Dying dropped a new single today.
Is that what you sent?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought it was an old song.
No, it just came out today.
I missed that.
Yeah.
What is it?
As I Lay Dying.
Blinded.
Burden.
It is a classic As I Lay Dying old school metalcore jam. It's so Preston probably won't care for it too much because he'll be like, oh, I've heard that riff 1,000 times. I'll get that. Not saying you're wrong in that sentiment, but for me, you know me, that just kind of pulls me back to the roots and love to have new music from them. I believe this is the first single featuring their new bassist who was with Miss May I. What?
That album cover, bro.
Oh, it's amazing. They always have elite album covers.
Oh, yeah, because their bassist left and joined Spirit Box.
Yes. So Miss May's bassist is now their bassist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So he does their clean vocals, too. So when you hear that song, you're like, well, this sounds like Miss May. That's why.
I've always liked his cleans.
It's him. So you'll recognize the cleans right away. Okay. He's very similar in style to the guy that they had for years.
Yep.
So no stylistic changes. Heavy as fuck. Tim gets some fucking death metal growls in there that are fucking gnarly and some sweet solos and everything you would expect from an As I Lay Dying song. So big fan of that. I knew they had new music coming. I assume there's an album coming or an EP of some sort. So really looking forward to that. And we'll listen to it after the show so you guys can hear
it. Yeah.
Give me your thoughts. Did you want to touch on the Bring Me the Horizon record?
I do. And it could be brief.
No, take your time.
So
BRB.
Oh, you did. You good?
Oh, yeah,
I just got it. Oh, okay. So, Bring Me the Horizon, they had dropped the song Strangers. Shit, it feels like it's been a year ago, but I know it's been a while, which is a single off this record. And I loved it. And it was different. It's kind of poppy, but emo-ishy. I don't know. I don't want to categorize any of it. But I love that song. Well, I do follow reaction channels on YouTube. And in between schoolwork today, I came across the reaction channel that dude I really like. I can't remember his name. And he did a live review he did a review on the Bring Me the Horizon album. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm going to watch a little bit of this. I'm slightly curious. Not that I listen to Bring
slightly
Me.
Slightly curious?
Yeah, not that I listen to Bring Me often because I don't. But I dove in, and I know I was probably feeding off his hype a little bit because he gets into the technicalities and the production of it and points it out as he's listening. But this fucking album, and not that you guys will end up liking it at all, depends on what all you're into, or if you give it enough time to really like it. Not only are the songs really fucking cool, the modern production that's happening on this album is fucking crazy. It's like futuristic, but not too like robotic or futuristic to a point where it ruins a song or is fucking up a song. Like there were times throughout the album, I've listened to the whole album, where it would, the production or the effects and edits or whatever would catch me off guard, but it'd bring me right back to where it wasn't bothering me that bad. But this fucking album, I didn't think I would enjoy. I expected to not enjoy it. And I absolutely love this album. It's fucking cool.
What's the response been like on social media to it?
I haven't looked at a ton, but from what I have seen is taking into account how different but familiar it is for them, people really enjoy it.
They've got a pretty rabid fan base. People that, now there were a lot of people like myself that stopped listening after Sandpit Turtle. when they went away from the metalcore, we've talked about that on the show, that deathcore, metalcore, now they're pop, techno, punk. I don't know.
Put core at the end.
Yeah, core. Yeah.
Is it the heavy shit's in there? Yeah. It's fucking sweet, it is. Dude. So I really enjoy it.
They are extremely talented musicians. Just what they do now is not my cup of tea. I heard that one song and I was already out.
Oh, it was fun.
That's not a band that I want to vibe to. It's a band I want to lose my shit to.
Man, it made me realize that Ollie is talented enough to be able to do all that fucking crazy shit, dude. I really enjoy it. I hope you guys give it some time. Maybe you won't, but you said the same thing about Sleep Token, so we'll see.
Yeah.
I listened through the album, and I was not.
Were you not in the right mind frame for it?
I wasn't loving it, bro.
It was not
a great time.
I was not having a great time listening to that.
I just kind of went through it. I was studying, so like, just noise was helpful. And that's what it was. It was a lot of noise. There was a lot of.
I could see robots, if you're not focused on it.
Robots kind of, you know, fucking and stuff. And I was like, no.
Yeah,
I don't do too much of that because it's not even like they.
I'll do that Bale of Maya.
It's not like they did what Northlane does and incorporate it into the music. It was cut out of like no more. You know, for a minute,
was like if Risen with the Tism was a song.
Oh God,
that's what it sounded like.
What's Risen mean?
I said Risen with the Tism.
Risen,
like Risen up.
I ain't got no Riz.
You zero rizzes because you have children.
Yeah.
If you P-I-M-P, if you don't know, didn't know then, you do now. Yeah, it was too much going on. It's just so much shit.
Yeah, so there was parts that I'm
talking about the songs. Like it's just
there was parts of the songs that I would enjoy.
You only listened to one. I know you did.
I listened to both that you sent. They both.
Oh, did I send two?
Yeah.
Oh, I fucking
notice
love
I said
them.
Garbage after you sent. Yeah.
I thought I only sent the one.
No, you sent two, and then I sent a good one, and nobody even like paid no never mind to it.
Well, because I thought you had said it. I interpreted it. Interpreted it as an old song.
I didn't leave any commentary. I just sent the song. That's a bad job out of me.
I'm trying to find it. Where the fuck?
Is there anything else new out right now?
Let me check. Instant classic old school metalcore jam is what you said. So I said
instant classic, and I meant it in the sense of
right
sound. Not literal classic. Right. So bad job out of me. That's poor marketing. I'll do better next time. Didn't Bill Murray just drop something?
Bill Murray dropped a new song.
He dropped like the hardest album cover ever.
Bro, he's a fucking legend.
The lawnmower, doesn't it say like American Racing or American Motorsports or something?
I don't know, but his dog's a fucking
while you're
badass.
Doing that, I do want to touch on...
Oh, the top left corner says American Motorsports.
I do want to touch on some other stuff that's out now that's really good. For my country fans out there, if you're a Coe Wetzel fan, man, his new album's going to be an absolute fucking banger. Nine Lives is what it's called. It's going to be a jam. Even Preston likes a song that I sent to him.
Yeah, I played it three times, and then I think it just got stuck in my head or something.
It does get stuck in your head. So that's out. I've been jamming a lot of Cody Johnson lately. His newest album, Leather, is really, 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 really good. Luke Combs, new music. Morgan Wallen, new music. All kinds of new shit out in the country scene for my fellow country fans out there. Anything else besides the Bill Murray stuff?
Yeah, he dropped Talking to Your Ghost. Kind of a boring track to me. One thing that I did come across recently that I shared with Tyler, I don't even know how to put it into a bucket of music, but the Pine Grove stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's ooh, like an alternative folk.
Yeah, something along those lines. And then there's another group I came across on Instagram. Would you consider it alternative folk kind of stuff well? It's Hey Nothing.
We've been listening to Train, bro.
And yeah.
Some old Train. But Hey Nothing, song called Maine.
I could not believe that chick literally walked in my house and said what she said.
Oh, shit.
Go ahead and tell that story.
Tell that story, bro.
I ordered my son a phone, and for whatever reason, Asurion, like, sends someone to deliver the phone, which I could tell early on was just a salesperson to sell me more insurance with Asurion. It was pretty obvious, but she just starts like asking me stuff, trying to find something to
they
relate
got people
me,
sell
door relate to door with
phone
me.
Phone insurance now?
Well, they were delivering me the phone.
Two of them bitches always.
So
I chew too damn much.
She's just asking me shit, trying to find things to like relate to me with, which I could tell it was her trying to be a saleswoman, but she wasn't very good at
it. Was she attractive?
No.
Okay.
So she wasn't very good at it.
Minus 500 aura.
Work on your craft, girl.
Yeah, work on your craft.
Was she a large woman?
Anyway.
That's huge, bitch.
So she starts talking. We start talking about music and stuff for whatever reason, and she asked me what kind of music I was into, and I said, you know, rock and things like that. She's like, oh yeah, I love rock. I grew up with rock. She was like, 21 Pilots is my favorite rock band, and I was like,
I would have punched her right there.
I was like, this conversation's going to get weird. She's like, I have this playlist. It's like my go-to playlist. It's like classic rock.
So you're thinking Led Zeppelin.
So she pulls it up on her Spotify, and she's like, you can look at it. My brother and I created this. This is some our classic rock player list. And it had like Goo Goo Dolls, Matchbox 20, Incubus. Oh, fuck. Three Doors Down. I seen Three Doors Down, and I immediately started like getting frustrated. I was like, Three Doors Down. I just looked at her. Three Doors Down. Three Doors Down is classic rock to you.
How old was she,
bro?
Do you know?
Is it classic rock?
I don't know, but like all these like late 90s, early 2000s bands were on this list, and I was like, you think this is classic rock? I was
this
like,
ain't 96.3, motherfucker.
I was
are
like,
we
what
old?
Do you call? What do you call like Led Zeppelin and you know Ozzy and all that kind of stuff? Like, what do you call that?
He started interrogating this poor woman.
She was like, I don't know. I guess that's classic rock too. I'm
listen
like, to
him.
No.
Listen to him, you fat bitch.
I ain't go make fun of nobody for that, but I was so frustrated with. I was like, "How old are you?" She said, 21. I was like, 21? "I'm not even that much." I was like, "I'm not even that much older than you." She said,
bro,
"How old are you?"
That's a whole different generation, though.
Hold on, I was like, "I'm not even that much older than you." And she said, "Well, how old are you?" I said 30. She's like, "Well," I was like, What's that the about? Fuck? I was like, what do you mean, well? She's like, that's almost a decade older than me. And I was like, get the fuck out of my house.
Get the fuck out of my house.
One, your music categories are fucked up.
Take and you two, and your 21 Pilots and your classic rock playlist. Get the fuck out. Oh.
Yeah, that's rough. Oh, my God. You do got to think that there is probably a lot of people out there that age, younger, maybe even a little older, that consider The shit we grew up on, classic.
Yeah, but like when they, I would assume when they hear the term classic rock, it comes from their parents that, yeah, I like classic rock. And I would assume to their parents, classic rock would still be what we're talking about.
You would think. You would think. I mean, you
if it's think. Not 70s shit, then it would be 80s shit.
Yeah.
Classic rock.
Yeah. Poison, shit
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Maybe they call that classic rock instead of hair metal.
I don't know.
You know? We're getting older. I mean, we have accepted
look,
the fact.
If that you are within 5 years of me, you should be fucking furious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Be mad.
That a 21-year-old girl had the audacity to walk into my house and call Three Doors Down classic rock. There should be riots in the streets.
That's the kind of person that wears the band t-shirt but can't name three songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is, she's wearing AC/DC and the only one she knows is Back
in Black. I love Whitesnake.
You ain't never heard of Money Talks. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. Then you get the bagpipes coming in. Oh, it's a long way.
Isn't that what Jack Black did?
We're definitely
Black
getting
did?
Copyright infringement letters for that solo there.
Jack Black on Thank fucking God, School of Rock, he fucking mumbled it. He said, what? You remember that?
Yeah.
Another hot take.
Oh.
That movie sucks.
Oh, I enjoy that movie. I don't watch movies often to fucking criticize them, though, so.
Sucks.
Nah, I like it.
I mean.
You like it, don't you?
I love almost everything.
Oh, yeah, you're a Jack Black fan.
Yeah. He seems like the coolest guy ever, but, like, I feel like if you think he's funny, I can't. There's no helping you.
I think he's funny myself, but I am into that kind of dorky, not-so-serious humor.
Yeah, me too, but, like, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly movies, like Talladega Nights and Step Brothers and shit like that.
And I love that.
Yeah, but that's not the same as Jack Black. Jack Black's like for kids.
Well, I mean, in
he's a little over
School
the top.
Of Rock, yeah.
Nacho Libre.
The movie was kind of for kids.
Jumanji. Like, those are all kid movies.
Hey, that first Jumanji kids movies was a, are great. Was a
Dude, my
good
fucking
movie.
Dad loves that movie because of Kevin Hart and The Rock. Like, he just.
Oh, it's fantastic.
He was like. Man, I was watching Jumanji the other night. Just couldn't sleep. Jumanji was on. I was like, with Robin Williams? He's like, no, the new one. Rock, Kevin Hart. God, it's just last hard. Just last hard. I'm like, all right, Dad, whatever.
Like,
whatever puts a
Jack
smile
Black's
on your face,
ability
man.
to really get into character where he acted as if he was a fucking like 17-year-old girl trapped in his body was fucking hysterical.
Dude, the one thing that he was actually kind of funny in and he had a whole 3 minutes of screen time was quote-unquote Western called The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. And he's in it for like 3 minutes and he manages to be funny the 3 minutes that he's in there.
Oh, man.
And that didn't win you over?
Dude, it's not that I don't like Jack Black. I think he's just a little too over the top. He's just a little,
That's fair.
A little much. That's it. That's it.
Yeah. I think that's just part of the humor.
Yeah, and that's fair. And that's fair. I'm more of a, when it comes to comedy, more of a the old school Will Ferrell movies. And a lot of people think those are dumb too, but I also like the Adam Sandler movies. Speaking
oh,
of that,
I love
Happy
Adam
Gilmore
Sandler.
2 is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Twisters, the Twister sequel. Some dope ass movies coming this summer, bro. Dude, they better land the plane on Happy Gilmore 2. Like,
oh,
don't
they have to?
Don't fuck that up. Don't fuck that
well,
up.
Well, and it's a perfect I'm time. It is the perfect time to have that movie come out because golf is more popular than it ever has been because of what COVID did for golf.
Yeah, it's a great time to do that. It's not popular on TV, but
I drove
it's
YouTube,
never really,
YouTube golf is fucking
it's never really
insane.
Been, I shouldn't say never. When Tiger was at his peak, it was very popular.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I drove by the golf course here in town yesterday, and it was beautiful out.
I was there.
And I went by and was just, oh, I wanted to be there.
I haven't swung a club yet this year. I'm out of time.
It is nice as fuck, man. They've done well at that course.
Yeah, they have done really nice.
It looks very, I played it yesterday. It is in very good condition.
Anything else?
You have swung a club because you and I.
Oh, yeah, we golfed in like February, didn't we?
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that.
It's crazy to think that we're like halfway through the year.
New Knock Loose album for people that like Knock Loose. I enjoy it, actually. I finally was able to get into them. It's not a banger album to me, but I added a few tracks. Sweet. Music wise, nothing.
Yeah, I think we covered the big ones that most of our listeners would care about. Obviously there'll still be more stuff come that we'll cover as the year goes on. And
new invent song, you said
coming. Yeah. On the 31st, okay. I assume that's what it is. It's like definitive or something.
Yeah.
Is the name of the name of the song. I assume it's gotta be a song. It's they shared a date and a word, right. And a picture of what looks like a single cover, an EP cover. So if I was a betting man, I would assume that, it's a new song coming. So, not much longer than a year removed from their last album. So
trying to build off that hype.
Oh, I had it too. Damn it. I caught it and didn't think I had it and let it go. I'm a ninja. I caught a gnat.
Anything else in particular, Tyler?
We covered a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I think we covered a lot. I had a couple thoughts when we were talking about like Moss to Flames, but I can't remember what it was. We veered off quickly.
That happens on the show when we go long increments without recording.
That is true. I guess, final thing, Mental Health Awareness Month and all that, reiterate. Definitely, if anyone out there is struggling with some things, you feel you need some help, just reach out to anybody. Might be surprised how open people are to helping. But other than that,
it's a great way to bring it full circle, man. And again, huge shout out to all the men and women in our armed forces that have paid the ultimate sacrifice, and huge shout out to their families as well. Thank you so much for all that you've done for this country. And thank you to the men and women who are currently serving, the veterans of our country. Tyler, thank you for your service, my brother. And may God protect each and every one of you and keep you all strong, because I think that veterans, the military, and Mental Health Awareness Month, that's one big
22 a day.
Correct. And until we get that number to zero, there's still work to be done. And I'm happy to be a part of a couple organizations that do a lot for veterans, with the Wounded Warrior Project, with Operation Cherry Bend. We host veteran hunts, getting to take disabled veterans on deer hunts on the properties that we own and hunt. And my dad is heavily involved with that, and I like to help out when I can and whatnot. So, and also Fayette County Whitetails Unlimited, we do a lot for the vets there too. So happy to help in any way. But I think that's it, boys. That's a good show. Hope everybody had a after this, this episode will release after Memorial Day. So hope everybody had a safe and fun Memorial Day. And I hope that we'll see you a lot sooner than we did between this episode and the last one. We'll try to get a little better at that. So can't wait to bring you guys more content as we move forward. And here's to another great show. So until next time, we are the Screaming Idiots. See you on the flip side.
Peace, love, dove.